Thank you. Can you hear me, Brother James? So much appreciate the sweet opportunity to be with y'all tonight. Appreciate the good humble prayer prayed by Brother James, and we appreciate his message to us at Providence and the great blessing of the Holy Spirit poured upon him and the whole congregation as we sought to worship together, and appreciate those that were able to come, and appreciate y'all's prayers for us tonight that the Lord may be with us while we try to speak from God's word. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139, where the psalmist David would say, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. That word search literally means to search out, to examine, to investigate. We search out things we care about. If we don't care about something or want to know more about it, we don't really search it out. I remember back in the summer of 1993 when I was going for an interview here to be a U.S. probation officer. There was a woman that was interviewing the same day who drove in on the west side of Jackson, which is the rougher side of Jackson, the more dilapidated side of Jackson. And she would later tell me, she said, I almost didn't even go to the interview because I had no desire to search out that place. I had seen enough. She learned that there were other parts of Jackson that looked a lot better than what she had seen. But it proves the point that if we see something we don't like, that we don't care about, we don't have a desire to search it out. The precious brother that prayed for us, Brother James Isaacs, lives on a beautiful mountain called Mount Magazine. And I would suspect that through the days and the hours and the minutes of his life, he has spent a fair amount of them searching out the beauty of that mountain. He loves that mountain. He thinks that mountain is beautiful. And he spent a fair amount of time searching that mountain out. When it comes to people, which is what this verse is talking about, he said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. There was a precious woman that about 1994 that I began to court and to date that I thought was beautiful, still think she's beautiful on the inside and out. And I wanted to search her out. I wanted to know more of her beauty. I wanted to know more about her because I loved her. And I wanted to know all there was about her. We see a sweet picture of this, of the Lord's love for us. Now, there's a sense in which God, who knows all, would, in a sense, not have to search us out, for he already knows all about us. But it's portraying God and the Lord in a way as we, as mortal man, could understand. That the Lord loves us so much that he would search us and know us, that he would search us out, that he would examine us, that he would investigate us. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Now, as much as I've spent knowing Sister Emily and learning more about her and searching her out, there's times she sits down and I don't know about it. There's times she gets up and I don't know about it. I've been at the courthouse all day. I'm still at the courthouse. I'll soon be home a little bit later. But there's times she gets up. I don't know about it. There's times she sits down. I don't know about it. But I'll tell you, the Lord knows us so preciously, so intricately. He knows. He knows my down sitting. He knows mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Sometimes I know what Sister Emily's thinking. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes when I've misread her thoughts, I may not do the things that she would like for me to do. But the Lord knows even our thoughts. Before we formed our thoughts, maybe into words, He knows and He cares. He says, Thou compassest. He surrounds, He encircles my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. He surrounds us with His grace, with His mercy, and with His love. There may be times we feel alone. There may be times we feel that He is far from us. But it's simply because we don't feel Him manifested, because He's surely there. He compasseth our path. Even when we lie down and rest, when our bodies are that tired, He compasseth us and He is acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows all my thoughts and He knows all my words. Now that's comforting in one sense, and it's a little bit scary in another sense. I think about that word of scripture that says, Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I need to be reminded that every thought I think, He knows. And every word I speak, He knows. And I would to God they'd be thoughts that honor Him and words that honor His holy and His precious name. He said, Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. That word beset means to surround. It means to enclose. It means to fortify. Do you ever feel like you need a hedge of protection about you? We live in dangerous times and in dangerous days, but I'll tell you, we have a Lord that encompasses us. We have a Lord that besets us. He surrounds us. He encloses us. He fortifies us. And what a blessing that is. There's no stronger than our Lord. There's no greater fortification than our God. And He has promised that He'll enclose us, that He'll beset us behind and before. They teach us as probation officers. When I first came on, we would get up on the firing line and we would shoot our weapons. And we might cover to the right and cover to the left to simulate if there was a threat over there. And then we'd go right back to the holster. Where there came a time where our officers were taking fire from the rear. And so now they teach us that before we go to our holster, we cover left, we cover right, and we do what they call check our sixes. We look behind because we need to be protected not only from the front, but we need to be protected from behind. We have a Lord that's able to protect us from the front, and He's able to protect us from behind. And the Holy Scriptures, this beautiful psalm says He has done that, and that He's laid thine hand upon me. I was in a service one time where a woman was told that she had terminal cancer. And the church had gathered together to pray for this precious sister. As we were praying, she was sitting up toward the front of the congregation. And she felt a hand on her shoulder. And she looked back, thinking that maybe one of the deacons of the church or maybe one of the saints there at the church had come up to her and placed their hand upon her shoulder. But she looked up and no person was there. But yet she felt a hand of comfort and a hand of grace and a hand of mercy. And she would later state that she firmly believed that the hand she felt was none other than her Lord, her Master, her Savior, and her Redeemer. He's able to beset us in front and behind, and He lays His hand upon us. Says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too incomprehensible to me. It's too extraordinary for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. The knowledge He has of us, the love He has for us, is beyond our comprehension. It's too wonderful for us to totally grab our minds around. He said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Can you think of a description of a more lonely place? A more faraway place that's far away from anybody that we might would find as a companion, to take the wings of the morning and to go into the very uttermost parts of the sea? Can you imagine a more lonely place being described than that? But the psalmist would go on to say, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me, even there. Little child of God, have you ever been even there? Even there, where you thought you were in the most lonely place that ever could be imagined. You know, we can be lo in a lonely place on the outside, but it's possible for us to be around a whole lot of people and feel lonely on the inside. But I'll tell you that no matter where you're even there was, even there, the Lord's hand leads us and His right hand holds us. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light around me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. I'm reminded of that time when the Lord Jesus Christ had gone up on the mountain and his disciples, he had told them to go to the other side, and the Lord would be up there on that mountain praying in the darkness of the night. And a storm would come there upon the sea where his disciples were, and they were toiling and rowing. And even though it was dark, probably the darkest part of the night, the Lord still saw them. And the Lord saw them toiling and rowing. And the Lord just didn't see them, but he would go to them and be there for them. I don't care how dark it may seem around us at times. The Lord can see through the darkness, and the Lord knows what we're going through, both on the outside and on the inside. And he comes and he's there for us. He can see through the darkness around us. It says, "For thou hast possessed my reins." That word reins has the connotation of the center of emotion. It really has the connotation of our heart. And he said, "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast possessed my heart." Have we ever said of someone, maybe it's a grandchild, maybe it's our beloved spouse or someone we hold dear, and we use the phrase, "They stole my heart." What does that mean? They're possessing my heart. I love them so much. They have my heart in their possession. And here the word of God says, "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Notice that the Lord's knowledge of us didn't begin when we were a young adult or later. But David even describes the sweet knowledge that the Lord had of him. He said, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." That word cover has the connotation of protection and of love and of strength. A hand of protection covering David, even in the womb. Notice he said, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." A me is a person. And here the scripture gives the clear truth of God's word that a little baby in the womb is not an it. A little baby in the womb is a me. It's a person. And David gives this clear indication that even when I was in my mother's womb, the Lord loved me, and the Lord covered me with his hand of protection. May God bless us to always stand up for the value of life in the womb. And as our Lord would cover David in the womb with his hand, may we seek to protect those that are in the womb. He said, "For I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." He said, "I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made." It's amazing the blessing of a baby in the womb and the way the Lord and his wonder and his grace have blessed babies to be formed. We look in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 5. It says, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who madeth all. What a blessing. We've got one of our officers that is expecting a child. They thought they would not be able to have a child, and the Lord's blessed them with the child, and his wife is expecting. He's so excited. And he came and showed me the sonogram pictures, which are so much more vivid than they used to be. And you just get a glimpse of how we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and how the Lord has blessed us even from an early, early age. He said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. I believe that means his mother's womb. And notice he again says, when I, a person, was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He said, even there you saw me. Even there I was not hid from thee. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. The Lord's known us. And even when we were in our mother's womb, and even before any of our members were written, he knew us in the covenant of grace. We didn't exist. We don't believe in that false doctrine of eternal children. But the Lord acknowledged us and chose us in his only begotten Son, even before we ever existed. It says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. The Lord's thoughts toward us are many thoughts. Sometimes when we got a brother or sister on our mind, we'll send a card that says, I'm thinking of you. Oh, how much the Lord thinks of us. How much the Lord, how many are his thoughts toward us, how precious those thoughts are, and how many those thoughts are. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with thee. The Lord's thoughts toward us are precious thoughts. They're wondrous thoughts. He thinks of us with thoughts of love and grace and mercy. And his thoughts toward us are not just here and there, but his thoughts toward us are as many as the sand of the sea. He loves us so much. He searched us out because he loves us. He knows all about us. He cares about the intricate details of our life because he loves us so much. He searched us out. He's protected us. He's been present with us every step of our life. He's promised to never leave us. He's promised to never forsake us. And even when we don't feel his presence, it's because we're probably too focused on the things of the world, because surely he is there. His hand has been upon us when we needed it most. When we wondered if we could put one step in front of another. And we're blessed to feel the touch of his gentle hand upon our shoulders. He's been right there. And he thinks of us every single day, and the thoughts of him are tremendous. As we bring our remarks to a close, I'll look at what it says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." So, what were those precious thoughts? What were those thoughts that were as many as the sand of the sea? It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That word expected in the Hebrew said it means end and expectation. That's the definition of hope, a confident and joyful expectation of eternal salvation. The Lord loves us so much, his thoughts of us were so much thoughts of peace that he would send his only begotten Son. That he loves so much to suffer and bleed and die for us on Calvary's tree, that we might be with him forever in heaven and immortal glory. He said, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." He's promised to always be there. He's promised to beset us before and behind. He's promised to enclose us and to fortify us and protect us. But there's times I don't feel his presence. I think it's in those times that I'm not seeking him with all my heart. But my heart had been too much on the things of the world. What a sweet blessing. We know the Lord's present with us, but when we feel his presence. And he said, "When you seek me, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart." Lord, give me a heart that wants to search you out like you've searched me out. Lord, give me a heart that will spend the rest of my days searching out the riches of your glory and your grace and your mercy and your love. For surely, as you have searched me out, Lord, I want to spend the rest of my life searching you out. May God bless you is my prayer.